Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
It's time to put it on the line with Cash Lovett, sponsored by BetMGM and MGM Northfield Park.
Cash Lovett joining us now. Cash, we just got done listening to Jake Murren's terrible Christmas movie takes last segment. What is your favorite Christmas movie?
Believe it or not, I'm a little bit old school. The claymation Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is going to be my favorite one.
I like this. I like these developments. Year Without Santa Claus, also very good. I like these.
You know, and then obviously the number two, it is a Christmas movie. Die Hard, it's got everything that you want.
Die Hard's a good movie. I'm against the Die Hard being a Christmas movie, but that's a debate for another day. I'll let this one lie. I'm going to let you have it. I'm going to let you have it for today. I don't want to get into that debate today. But a lot of stuff coming up here, Cash. Obviously, plenty of football. When we're on the topic of Christmas movies, a lot of NFL games coming up tomorrow. I'll tell you right now, I'm not even going to compare NBA NFL. I'm going to tell you what the games that are on that slate. Would you rather watch that or a Christmas movie?
Christmas movie. Let's go ahead with all the everything that we've seen come from all these injuries and stuff. Like, Netflix has got to be just crying, right? I mean, obviously, bundles of money.
Yeah, I mean, not so bad. They're still going to make a ton of money. A ton of people are going to tune in, but not good football. Not good football being played tomorrow. A lot of backup quarterbacks, third-string quarterbacks. We don't like that. All right, Cash, let's take a look at some of these games, though. Let's get into some of these. We'll start with the Browns coming up on Sunday. Steelers at Browns. I got two games, and I've had three wins so far this season. Are you bringing me good news or bad news?
Probably bad news, as I think I've been around – wrong on the Browns for the past 7 weeks, but I'm going with the Browns on the money line. Like, Pittsburgh just lost DK. They're not really going to have much of a passing attack. Who better to break the sack record against than a rival that Myles Garrett has had some, let's say, controversial things against with old Pittsburgh. Let's go ahead, ruin their season, get one more win on the season. Browns, money line, plus 140.
I like it. I'm all in on this. This is what I like to hear. This is the change, right? Normally you're in with Nick and JP. I don't know, something there might just be off. We're in today, Cash. This is going to be the time you get it right. We're gonna end on a happy note here.
Yes, we are.
College football, obviously, right around the corner. College football playoffs, but New Year's Eve. Before we get there, we got to watch Ohio State beat Michigan. Obviously, Michigan going through things of their own. Before the college football playoffs start and we see Ohio State play, Michigan takes on the preseason Don champions of Texas, who are not in the college football playoffs. Do Ohio State fans get to be happy and watch Michigan lose one more time?
Look, this is my last week on. Obviously, I'm going to have to do Texas. We are 7-point favorites. We are absolutely going to destroy Michigan. We've played them the last three times, twice in the Rose Bowl, once last year, and it's just not even a competition. Michigan is going to get buried by more than 7, and they're going to be left wondering, are they a premier program by the end of this game?
That's what I liked here. No head coach in sight. We just got to keep pushing that one down the road. Keep kicking the can. We're perfectly fine with it over here.
Absolutely. Barcelona was going to stay. He's going to play for nobody, and they're going to continue losing 3 to 4 games each and every year.
I like it. Obviously, on very shortly after that, Ohio State gets to play in the college football playoffs. Miami getting, I struggled to call it much of an upset win, but it was an upset win in the first round of the college football playoffs. Did you see anything from Miami to give them hope against the Buckeyes and Julian Sain and crew?
I did. And this is might just be a little bit of the hater in me, but I like Miami on the money line just as a value play at plus 280. Ohio State struggled against a tough Texas rush defense and just defense in general. Julian Sain played it very safe. Ryan Day is already demoted. Brian Hartline. I'm going to be interested to see if he gets a little tight while he's calling these plays. So hopefully it's nothing too big. It seems about neutral travel right there in Texas. I'm going to say Miami on the money line plus 280 as a value play.
All right, Cash, I'm sorry. I have to take back the part where you said you were going to be right on the Browns. I'll sacrifice a win in the 3-12 to get Ohio State to the next round. I have to take it back. I can't root for a Browns win over an Ohio State playoff win. Just doesn't work that way.
We don't have to get all five. We're playing a little bit of value here, trying to get back up at the end of the season. Like, I had to go big on the last one.
Listen, I can't blame you, all right? As a gambling man, I cannot blame you for chasing a good money line.
Absolutely.
Yeah, more college football playoffs, obviously, in the mix. Oregon, Texas Tech. Oregon had a cakewalk of a first matchup against the group of five. Texas Tech was awaiting, pretty much knew it was going to be Oregon. Was the tune-up game enough for the Ducks?
For me, it was not. All I've heard is people talk about how fantastic Oregon looked playing against just a JV squad. Like, I absolutely love James Madison. I'm not mad that they got in over Texas and everybody else, Notre Dame. But they were just so small. They couldn't move the ball. Oregon kept the quarterback in the entire game, Dante Moore. I don't think that they've seen a defense like Texas Tech, even playing against Indiana. They're going to be able to shut it down, destroy the running game. Texas Tech on the money line, plus 105.
All right. And last one, Cash, Alabama, Kalen DeBoer did look good against Oklahoma in the first one. Obviously, Indiana coming off being the number one ranked team for the first time in program history, won the Big Ten title game against Ohio State. Is Alabama and Kalen DeBoer, is this going to be the upset story, the prime upset story that people are looking at in the college football playoffs?
To me, it will be the second upset story, as we already have Miami advancing, and I think the Big Ten is about to get absolutely shut out. This one, again, is just, if we looked at this at the beginning of the season and said Alabama is getting 7 points to Indiana, I don't think that there's anybody not laying for the plus 7. Like, it's just an absolutely insane thing for me to look at. Alabama's going to be able to throw the ball all over Indiana. I think they're going to struggle a little bit. As we saw, they put up 13 points against Ohio State. They put up, I think, 16 against Iowa. Alabama has a defense that is on par with those, with a better offense coming out with DeBoer. Give me Alabama on the money line, plus 200. Again, just an absolute value play that I can't turn down.
I love the chasing. I love it. I love going after the plus money lines. I was doing some of that myself yesterday. I made very little money doing so, but I did make money, so that's the plus.
There we go.
That's what we like, right, Cash?
Yeah, I mean, if we hit two of these, then we're already sitting pretty.
That's what I like to hear. All right, I always appreciate you jumping in, giving us the thoughts. It was good to have you on this year. We did get to talk multiple times this year, so that was good. And holiday season, I do hope you enjoy your holidays.
Yeah. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to everybody. Thank you so much for having me. It's been an absolute blast, and hopefully we're able to get something together next year.
No doubt about it. Appreciate it, Cash.
All right. Go Army.
Put it on the line with Cash Lovett, sponsored by BetMGM and MGM Northfield Park.
All right. That was Cash. I mean, a lot of upset picks. I don't love a little plus money, okay? I'm not going to lie. As a gambling man, I love a little plus money. I'm out on the Ohio State. It's Ohio State till we die. But I'd be lying if I didn't say I liked a little plus money, too. And like Alabama in there, so I like that. But I do want to get back to a Browns. Cash was high on them. But this is obviously a big game for Shador. And I think in a lot of ways, this game does kind of change the perspective that we have and going through and looking at what this is going to be, right? Because, again, I think a lot of people are in the same idea of week 18 is going to be what people fear that this week could be with a Ravens loss, which is No Joe Burrow, no Jamar Chase, no T. Higgins. They basically sit anybody of consequence, and they go through in what are you really gaining out of that? It's a terrible defense to begin with. And then if they're sitting people down, it's hard to get a true evaluation. It's been hard to get one with this offense and how bad the line's been. It's also hard to get one when the defense that's out there is not basically anything to fear. And it's even less than, you know, one of the worst defenses in the NFL already, to the point where I think this game does become, in a lot of people's eyes, and very much so unfairly, probably a referendum for Shedeur Sanders. Like, a lot of people have their minds kind of made up, but I think anybody that's sitting in the middle right now is going to use this game to determine, okay, here's what we have. Here's what it's going to be, and this is going to be our final test. Because if you're going to throw out Week 18, I think a lot of people are going to latch on to this idea of, this was the last time that I saw Shedeur play. And people are going to be able to run with the fact of, all right, well, you throw away Week 18. If Shedeur played really well, well, of course we should go through and just continue this thing in the positive direction and say, hey, just keep moving forward with it, right? Like, don't worry about drafting a quarterback. Look how good he looked against the Steelers. Hey, you want to see more of that in an offseason to improve. And I think there's going to be a lot of people on the other side that if this game comes out and Shedeur does not look great in it, that a lot of people are going to be left with a sour taste in their mouth. And it's going to be, well, there you go playing a divisional opponent. There you go playing a divisional opponent whose defense has been better as of late, but is a year across the board, haven't been all that good. Is that something that we can run forward with? And this is where everybody's going to get it wrong. Like, Sunday can't become a referendum. Week 18 can't become a referendum. The Bills game, you can't pick out one singular game out of this sample size and make your decision. Like, if you listened to Overtime, you know I'm a Shedeur fan. I like Shedeur Sanders. If it was up to me in 2026, yes, I would be moving forward with Shedeur as my quarterback. Not just because I actually have faith in him, but also because, my God, you need some help on the offensive side of the ball outside of quarterback as well. But I think that if you don't just take the entire body of work and you go, okay, let's take a look at what he's done, and you break down the fact that, yeah, there's been improvements every week. No, it's not a linear progression. Yes, there's some bumps in the road. Is he a perfect quarterback? I wouldn't have said that to get, you know, going into this draft, and I'm certainly not saying it, you know, coming out of this year. I also think that you just look around. It's like, if you pick out and you want to cherry pick games, there's arguments to be made in every single direction on this. Like, you can pick out the Chicago game. Every Shedeur denier is going to have that game, you know, pulled up and be like, well, look at this. Best defense that he played in the entire time that he was playing. If this is what happened, and I'm sure everyone on the Shedeur side is going to pull up the Tennessee game and go, how many rookie quarterbacks threw for 364 yards and accounted for four touchdowns? To the point where, like, okay, those games cancel each other out. Like, you had a really bad game and you had a really good game. That's okay. That's what's going to happen, not just among rookie quarterbacks, but among quarterbacks in this league. There's going to be great games that you play, and there's going to be really bad games that you play. And that goes for guys who are competing for NFL MVPs all the way down to, I was going to bring up Max Brosmer, but I don't know that we're actually going to see a good Max Brosmer game ever in his career. So we're not going to go there, but you take your low-end starters. There's going to be good games, and there's going to be bad games. It's about the entire body of work. This cannot become a referendum of Shedeur in one game, and you can't cherry pick your game. You look at the entire thing. And again, I think what you're looking at right now is, at the very least, you're going to walk away from this. If Shedeur plays even just fine in the next two games, you're going to walk away saying it's intriguing to see more. Right? I like the idea of potentially seeing what Shedeur has. Doesn't mean that 100% you're not drafting a quarterback, but I think if you walk away from these, if these two games aren't bad and you just go, there's no chance I'm moving forward with that, I mean, I think you're basically just looking for a reason not to see it. But that's the body of work. That's not just the Titans game. That's not anything in particular. That's looking at the five games he's played so far and saying, yeah, I'm interested. Let's see how the draft shakes out. 216-474-0092. Will Sunday be viewed as a referendum for Shedeur Sanders? Plus, we have Daryl Ryder on coming up at 5:20, and he was on this morning alongside Lance Reisland. And I don't know necessarily I can agree with his take on Kevin Stefanski. It's coming your way in 5 minutes. It's Jake Volnick filling in for Nick and JP right here on Afternoon Drive. Jake Volnick with you guys here in for Nick and JP on a beautiful Christmas Eve. Once again, a happy holidays to everybody. And plenty of conversations to be had. We were talking about Shador. We have Daryl Ryder coming up here in about 60 minutes. The lead going to be coming up here at 5 o'clock. But Daryl not only joining us, but was also on this morning. And alongside Lance Risland, having a conversation about what this season is, Kevin Stefanski's job security. We've talked a little bit about that at the beginning of the show. But Daryl added into it and took a line that I think there's fair rebuttal to say that it's not Kevin's fault. Does Kevin deserve to be fired? There is fair rebuttal to that, but I think Daryl took it a step farther than I'm willing to say is that fair rebuttal.
Right now, I think they're going to fire Kevin. I think they're going to scapegoat him. I can't defend the indefensible. Like, he's had some really bad coaching moments. But at the same time, man, I feel for the guy. And everything, like, it's hard to coach here. It's hard to win here. And it's harder than it should be. I feel bad for him. He's done good work here.
So there's parts that I agree with. But when Daryl goes in and slaps the scapegoat title on top of it, that's the part where I start to disagree. Like, I don't think you have a scapegoat for the situation that is here. I'm trying to think of one. I don't have one. There is no scapegoat. There's nobody that you could fire here that's like, oh, and they just got thrown under the bus. Anybody who is fired here in this offseason, among Andrew Berry, Kevin Stefanski, Bubba Ventrone, the entire offensive staff, anybody pretty much within the front office, although I'm not going to throw you all in there because I don't know exactly what you do, but I'm sure there's people in there that you could just fire, and it's with great cause. Like, no, Andrew Berry could be fired today, and Andrew Berry would be make sense that he's gone. You did not put it together a good enough offense for this team to compete. Same things for Kevin. Like, there's no scapegoat moment. He's got a sub-500 record in Cleveland. He's gone through and won 6 games over the last 2 years. Guys, this is what the head coaching position is. This is the reality of what we look at in the NFL. If you can't go out there and you can't consistently put together wins, you are fired. Again, was Kevin handed the best situation in the world? Absolutely not. If Andrew's here and Kevin's gone, is Kevin getting it?
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first 2 orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The raw end of the deal. Probably a little bit. But to act like anybody involved in this entire situation is just a complete scapegoat of it all is also ridiculous. Like, there is no scapegoat in this situation. Kevin went through, and did I expect this offense to be bad? I did. I thought this offense was not going to be very good. The best chance they had at actually putting together a good offense this year lied in the hands of a 40-year-old quarterback and just reigniting a spark that was there previously, and a bunch of, you know, older offensive linemen coming out and playing like they did 3 or 4 years ago, and everything just working out hunky-dory. That was your big hope for this year. But at the same time, I can't ignore the fact that the offense has been just god-awful. Like, since the start of the year, you have gone through and watched Joe Flacco, a guy who, as I just mentioned, had a ton of success here, go through and look like there was nothing he could do. And then I watched Dylan Gabriel play, the quarterback that you consciously took over the other rookie quarterback that you had, the guy that you consciously played over the other rookie quarterback that you had, as a head coach. No matter, you know, what the front office is telling you, that is your decision. You have ultimate power over who plays and who does not. So you picked Dylan Gabriel to play over Shador. Dylan Gabriel did not look good, and the offense struggled mightily because of it. We're talking about 8 or 9 guys in the box every single time. You cannot press the ball down the field. Whether that's you handcuffing your quarterback or your quarterback not having the ability to, you know, press beyond that, you made those decisions. You can look around and say there's not enough talent. I can look around the NFL and find as, you know, deprived of talent offenses or debatably worse offenses. I mean, look at the Tennessee Titans. There's not a whole lot there on offense. And I can look at those teams and go, it still feels at times that you were competing behind them. I mean, you literally did play a head-to-head matchup and lost that. You lost to Justin Fields, who didn't even put up 70 yards passing in a game. Like, these are just the type of things that, if you're looking at it, like, again, I can feel bad for you a little bit to the point of the roster that was put in front of you is not great and you're judged on the offensive performance. But to come out and play it this bad, and then for the offense, for you to sit there as an offensive play caller and a head coach to give up play calling once again this season, there's just not a ton of defense. Like, I talked about it when Kevin gave up the play calling. It's like, that's what you do well. That's the one thing that you've held on to. And I know you gave it up the year prior as well, but like, that's the one thing you've hung your hat on. It's like, this is what I do better than anybody else in the NFL. You giving that up does not scream success in being here next year, unless you just take off and there's still going to be a lot of questions, even if this team gets a lot better after you give it up. But everything that he's done this year, yeah, the offense is bad. They've also just built a bad offensive system. An offensive system that does not have, on a week-to-week basis, a ton of chance to succeed until you get to what is legitimately supposed to be quarterback 4 on the season, who has given you the most flash of anybody who has gotten anything done here at the quarterback position this year. Like, again, there's moments to feel bad. There's also not. Like, Kevin's a head coach in the National Football League making millions of dollars to do his job. There is very little of me in those positions when a guy doesn't succeed and there's a chance he loses his job. There's very little of me that just feels bad. Like, there's a human aspect, of course, but you get paid a lot of money to do a good job, and when you don't do a good job, you lose that job. That is the nature of the league. That is the nature of basically any business that you walk into. You fail to perform, you're going to be judged on performance. You can talk about, oh, well, you know, it's a lot more process than, you know, results, and we focus a lot more on that. Well, when the process does not end up getting the results, organizations are going to become very, very quickly stale of process-driven ideas, and we have to go through that we're doing everything the right way, and we're going about this the right way. Yeah, but you're not winning football games. Again, everybody here could line up and be fired. That is a part of that offense and a part of anything that had to do with the product of the team that they put on this year. You could practically just clean house outside of anybody on the defense, and you look around and you go, yeah, that's probably warranted. That was justified. It would have been warranted and justified a year ago. But let's not forget about the fact that there were people in this town, plenty, calling for Kevin's head a year prior. And there was reasonable cause. You could have just gone through and fired Kevin based on the results that you had in last year. This was an extra opportunity, essentially, in a lot of people's eyes for Kevin to go out and prove it. And you're going to walk away from this season with a maximum of 5 wins and an offense that looked worse than it did last year at times. Like, There needs to be progress. There needs to be something, an improvement. Like, we talk about it with the quarterback position. If you're just going to get worse and worse every single week, you're not going to have a job in the National Football League. You're not going to continue to be the starter for the team that you're on. The same thing with head coaches. If you go through and there is not an improvement, and sure, there will be up and down years. As your roster changes, as things develop, you're going to have good years, you're going to have bad years. The coaches who survived those bad years are coaches who had previous success. Again, I point to Kevin Stefanski. You got to two playoffs, you won a playoff game. You got to survive 3-14 last year. When you start churning out bad performances over and over again, there should be nobody running to your defense to save your job in those moments. Like, again, I think Kevin's a great football coach. I do. I think he's a really good offensive mind. I think wherever he goes, there's a chance that he's going to have success, and there's a decent chance at it. The problem is that that happens basically every year in the National Football League. We watch coaches get fired left and right. We watch coaches get second opportunities and do much better in the second opportunities. It's just the result that you get. Sometimes it's just not working where you're at, but I can't run to it and go, oh, Kevin's basically getting thrown under the bus for this entire situation. No, Kevin is being fired because Kevin's not winning enough football games. Andrew Berry could be fired this year because he's not winning enough football games. But Andrew has a positive to hang his hat on. That's also the difference in this situation. Like, the thing that is saving Andrew Berry's job is the fact that you went through in this draft class and you selected, I mean, four legitimate talents, no question about it. And then added on top of it, Dylan Sampson and, you know, the question mark of Shedeur Sanders. Not bad pieces to have on top. Like, that's a pretty good garnish to the meal that you built if you're Andrew Berry. But I look around, it's like, I can't point to positive things that Kevin has done this year that are reason to save his job. Like, even if I'm trying to hold out for the glimmer of hope, it has been the same stale message over and over again. And I know as fans, we get sick of listening to Kevin Stefanski's press conference. I would imagine even as an organization at times. Like, you like the fact that he goes up there and says the right things at the podium, but you're not really answering for any of the flaws that this team has. You're not answering, not describing how this team's going to get better. And clearly, the behind-the-closed-doors process is also not getting it done either. This team can continue to come out and play hard and look like they want to win games, but until you start doing it, there's nothing safe. Kevin's in charge of the offense. He brought in, once again, you know, he basically got Alex Van Pelt ripped out from under him and had to hire Ken Dorsey. Okay. All right, well, you got rid of Ken Dorsey and you got to bring in a guy that you hired onto the staff in Tommy Rees, and the offense didn't get better. Right? You brought in several quarterbacks that you thought were going to make it better. You got the opportunity. I imagine Kevin had to have liked at least, you know, or loved at least one of the quarterbacks they drafted in this class and had to have at least somewhat liked both of them. Not to mention two veteran quarterbacks, which just flat out fit. Joe had success. Kenny is a guy who looks like he would fit into a Kevin Stefanski offense just based on the, I can get the ball out quickly. I'm not going to make a ton of mistakes. That works, right? Like, that works in an offense built by Kevin Stefanski. Got your opportunities. You got your shots. They didn't build this thing perfectly for you, but they gave you a fighting chance for it to look better last than it did in the previous season. You didn't deliver on the result. Again, I can't sit here and make excuses for it. I can't sit here and run to the defense of somebody who just does not produce. And quite frankly, again, good football coach, but if you look around and you go, that football coach needs a ton of talent around him to succeed. And there's a lot of questions about what that football coach is doing on a team that clearly needs their offense rebuilt, on an offense that is not just going to have great players on it next year. There is no guarantee that bringing Kevin Stefanski back is going to do anything for you. Even if you draft a good pass catcher and you've managed to find a left tackle, it doesn't fix every problem on this offense. You're still going to be weak at offensive line unless they just spend a boatload of money that they don't have to rebuild that offensive line. And even your pass catcher room, even if you get a wide receiver one, unless you are drafting, you know, current JSN, or you are drafting, you know, the next coming of Julio Jones or Calvin Johnson or something of that ilk, the offense is still going to go through its bumps and its struggles. Like, go through to last year's draft, weak wide receiver draft, I understand. Tet McMillan looks really good right now. Could very well win Offensive Rookie of the Year, and I think is the favorite to do so right now. It's not like Tet's having a breakout season. It's not like Tet's, you know, lighting the league on fire. He's good. He's solid. Doesn't fix all the problems that they have. Like, it is not just a simple fix. You don't just get to run it back. And if this team is still starved of talent, in the, you know, this isn't going to be a premier top 10 offense in the National Football League. Quite frankly, I don't have 2 years to wait on Kevin Stefanski. I can't give you 8 years worth of leash just because we brought in a quarterback and it failed and we haven't been able to figure out anything since. That is not a defense of a guy who has won 6 games in 2 years. There's no guarantee that the next coach you bring in is going to do any better, but there's no guarantee that Kevin is either. There's at least a variable of maybe this coach can get more out of the players that are on the roster than Kevin is currently getting. Sometimes taking that chance on a what if is a little bit better than taking that chance on a, yeah, I probably know the answer here and I probably know what the result's going to be. 216-474-0092. Should Kevin Stefanski be considered a scapegoat if he's fired? Plus, I might just be a bad person because every single time we get to this point in the year, I end up in the same predicament. It's coming your way in 5 minutes. It's Afternoon Drive. Jake in for Nick and JP. There's no scapegoat here. Like, I just can't look around and find somebody that is to blame. Singularly, it just, that doesn't deserve it at this point. Like, if you're going to be fired, you have done more than your part at this point under this long tenure with this regime to probably just be fired. Like, I'm sorry, but that's just not how I can sit here and operate, is just act like anybody's been, you know, given a completely raw deal. You've had 6 seasons. And things started out great and almost have progressively gotten worse as time has gone on. And Andrew Berry's connected to that, no doubt about it. But Kevin has his own control in some of those areas too. Like, I'm not going to act like Deshaun Watson was a great quarterback when he was here. Kevin also failed to work with that quarterback. Kevin has failed to work with quarterbacks that, you know, he succeeded with one type of quarterback so far, which is your typical pocket passer, can get the ball out quickly, can run a more, you know, West Coast adapted style of offense, and has not been able to run it with any other type of quarterbacks right now. It's like there's a failure to adapt. There's a failure to succeed with what is in front of you. And I can't help but look at other coaches in the NFL that their offense isn't perfect, and it's certainly a lot better than it is here, but have gone through years of bad offense and have been able to turn that around, have been able to figure out something that works a little bit better in their offense to keep them competitive in football games. Right now, this team has failed to be competitive in a lot of the games that they have played. Obviously, Sunday against Buffalo, big props up to you. Defense did a lot of work there in the second half especially. They did a much better job at defending the run than they did in the first half, and a great job to keep Josh Allen in check. Yeah, the offense was better there. They weren't better much at all at the beginning of the season. When Dylan was playing, they weren't much better. Like, you have your opportunities. You have your chances in this league. It's not always going to be completely fair. You got to make the most of it. And when you don't, you line up and start trying to find another job, which Kevin will probably find just fine. He's a good coach, just not here right now. But again, 216-474-0092. I want to get out to you guys. Let's go to Kurt is in Cleveland. What's going on, Kurt?
Hey, man, you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Jake, if they fire Kevin Stefanski, they will be the laughing stock in the NFL. You don't even fire coaches like that. You try coaches, you don't even fire them. You got to trade them. That's number one. And number two, if you, like Mike Tomlin said it from the get-go when they traded Joe Flacco after 4 games, they're telling Stefanski, we're not trying to win. We want you to start 2 rookies in 2/3 of the season, a 5th-round pick and a 3rd-round pick. And now, if you turn around and fire that guy after that season with more rookies than any team in the league, you're not going to get no quality coach to come to work for you. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. The fire of Kevin Stefanski will be the dumbest thing in the Browns. They'd be dumber than Tennessee firing Mike Vrabel after he won coach here twice, had 2 bad seasons, and now look at him in New England. You don't fire coaches like that. It's idiotic. It's stupid. And the Browns are doing it.
I mean, Kurt, I disagree, and I appreciate the call. Like, one, I don't think you turn around. I think I know why Joe Flacco was traded away, and that's because I think we were watching Shador be QB3, and this is a team who wanted to see their 2 rookie quarterbacks. And yes, it's not exactly a product of wanting to see a ton of wins. Joe had already been benched. Like, Joe was not coming back to save the season at any point. That was very clear and obvious. Everybody gets hung up on that, and I think it does show a fracture in the organization. There's no doubt about it. Like, there was a disconnect between Kevin and Andrew and what they wanted to happen with that situation. But I think Andrew was on the side of, we drafted Shador for a reason, and if Dylan doesn't play well, we'd like Shador to play, and we'd like to see both quarterbacks this year. If Joe is going to be the thing that roadblocks us to seeing that, then Joe is going to be traded. And by the way, I have a 4-year-old quarterback I can get a 5th-round pick for. Like, as a GM, you feel pretty good about that fact. Especially for a team who, at that point in the season, you probably had a good feeling wasn't going to win a ton of games this year.
So
So the Browns have what, 10 draft picks next year?
They might have gone down to 9. It's somewhere in that range.
The idea that no one would take the Browns job, like, I'm not saying it would be like the cream of the crop. Like, that's probably the Giants, maybe like Arizona or Atlanta if that comes available. But the idea that no one's going to take the Browns job, like, you're going to have a chance to take a quarterback probably in the top two of the draft or stick with Shador and build a roster around it. You got one of the best defenses in the league with what's going to be the defensive player.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Year and the defensive rookie of the year. Someone's taking that job 100%.
I think we devalue how much this job actually like is set up, not necessarily to win next year, but set up for you to very quickly get back on the rise. Like, you have a ton of draft picks. You have things to build the offense. The defense is already basically built in place for you. You have to worry about one side of the ball, say, hey, me and the GM got to get on the same page. We got to get some good players in here. We can turn this thing around, especially if, you know, again, if you have a fifth-round quarterback that ends up being your starter, this is a great starting point. Even if it's just for next year, if he can hold the fort down and play well, and we'll go get a guy next year, the following season in 2027 to actually be the franchise quarterback, that is still a really good leaping block to, the cap's a little bit of a mess right now, but you fast forward 2 years, caps won't be so much of a mess. Plus, the other side of this is, like, I understand the stigma that is attached to the Haslam ownership group, and I talked about this earlier. They did just give a GM and a head coach a six-year runway while not finding a ton of success, making the playoffs twice. If you don't think that's attractive to a head coach, you don't think that job security and getting a longer leash is something that a head coach would be attracted to for a potential new job, you're crazy. Like, they're dying for that.
Also, it's not even just that, but the Haslams will do whatever it takes to win.
You're not going to have to worry about money being spent.
They're going to give you every single resource possible. Now, yes, they may meddle a little bit, but they're going to still give you every single resource possible. Would you rather have that, or would you rather have Cincinnati, where you have the quarterback in place, but I mean, they don't even know if they can keep him at this point.
You know, and you certainly don't have a defense. You don't have an offensive line for said quarterback. You got him two weapons. Congratulations. Like, that's what you have.
Exactly.
I would imagine that's a more attractive situation. Again, would you like to work with Joe Burrow if you're a prospective head coach? Of course you would. But, like, there are just things that line up in this that, yes, this job would be, I'm not going to say it's highly coveted, but there's going to be people who would line up and take this job. There's no doubt about it. And there's going to be good coaches. There's going to be, you know, lesser coaching candidates as well. There will be people online to take a Browns job if it does come open. It is not just going to be an end-all, cannot happen, won't happen type of situation. All right, real quick, let's go back out to the phones. John is in Vegas. What's going on, John?
Hey, buddy, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you, man?
I'm all right, man. I'm going a little crazy. I've never been more disappointed in Cleveland media than I have this week. Last week, fourth quarter, team's driving the field. Running game is humming. Rocket Sanders moving the ball. Stefanski, what does he and Reese do? They call the exact same trick play they called earlier in the game. Put the team behind the chains. Absolutely killed the drive, momentum. Any chance at winning from that point on was just shot. And this is the first time I think it's been on the airwaves this week. I could be wrong. Correct me if I am. If it was, there should not be a conversation about whether Stefanski should keep a job or not, because he does that stuff every single week. Anyways, love you, man. Merry Christmas. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep, happy holidays, John. Appreciate the call. I mean, listen, there's things that I can point to on a week-in, week-out basis, and some of them are just the fact that Bubba Ventrone is still employed, and that's a Kevin Stefanski decision. Like, if you want to fire somebody on your coaching staff, as a head coach, you have every right to fire somebody on your coaching staff. There's something I can point to basically every week that's like, did Kevin do this perfectly? No. Could he have done better? Yes. Is it what led you to losing? It might very well be. You can point to it every single time. It does bug you. And I don't know that anybody's highlighted that specific idea earlier on this week, but it does feel like that's a reoccurring problem as well. Like, coaches are going to make mistakes. Coaches are going to coach you out of games at times. They're going to coach you into games at times. It's just, within these last moments, it feels like, as we go week after week, pulling Shador's thrown for 364 yards, accounted for four touchdowns. Two-point conversion, again, would have worked if executed properly, but you pulled the guy off the field. Like, it just feels like there's a lack of feel for the moment. It feels like every time that I'm watching Kevin coach right now in Cleveland, I'm just being reminded of reasons why it's just not working here. Like, there is just a disconnect between what you need to do. There's a mental block between what you used to do and what worked as a head coach and what is currently working here. Kevin has it in his idea that this team cannot turn the ball over. They need to protect it beyond all costs. It's true. They do need to protect the ball. They need to put the defense in a good position. Like, the Browns have been most competitive while playing the quarterback that has arguably turned it over more than any of the quarterbacks they've just played this year prior. I know Joe was throwing picks. Joe was playing a very conservative game of football. It's not like he was just airing the ball out. And they've played their most competitive brand of football, something I've been screaming since week one. Yeah, you need to go and you need to fix that. You need to make those improvements. But I just haven't seen it. Like, you have to be willing to take the risk. Every single time that I watch a quarterback play, if he's going to play a scared game of football, you are not going to win. Interceptions are not the worst thing on the planet. This team has been coached up offensively to do the one thing that has practically shot themselves in the foot week after week of losing ball games where your defense keeps you competitive, but the offense just has no juice. That's not just on talent. That's also based on scheme. That's based on play calling and everything else. There's things you can do as a head coach to manufacture plays and manufacture yards. Kevin has not done a great job at it. All right, let's leave that there. When we come back, we're going to bring Jake Murren back into the mix because we get to the lead in 5 minutes right here. It's Afternoon Drive with Jake in for Nick and JP.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. you can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.